Welcome to Sci-Fi and Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film, featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Sense8 Season 2, Episode 5, Fear Never Fixed Anything. For once, I wrote down the season number, the episode number, and the title. I'm so proud of myself.
I am so proud of you, too.
I've grown up. Okay, what did you think of the episode, Melissa?
I've actually really been looking forward to talking to you
about it. Oh, sorry, the phone just went off. Do I want to get the phone? Do I want someone else to get the phone?
Don't get the phone.
Someone else's problem. I don't know what to do. I'm paralyzed with indecision.
Aren't we all?
You know what? Well, let's ignore the phone call. I mean, who's calling my house at Friday at 8:30 p.m.? No one important.
Sales people.
No one important. All right, let's get back to this. So, you were saying that you were actually what by the episode?
Oh, okay. I'm actually...
Just start over, dude.
I was actually really looking forward to talking to you about this episode because I think we're going to have different thoughts.
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I'm assuming you did not?
No, I actually really liked it.
Well, I also really liked it.
Oh, no. What made you think that... This is so boring.
It's not boring. What made you think that I was going to not like it?
Because, like, nothing happened.
I wouldn't say nothing happened. We got a lot of... I think tensions are kind of being, I don't know if reignited is the right word, but, like, tensions are rising within certain groups or people. Like, we have the whole kind of mini-conflict between Kyla's dad and her husband, not fiancé, her husband's dad, right? And then we have that weird thing with, not weird thing, but, you know, the whole sun and moon combo. And you know, like, I think there's interesting stuff going on. Like, just it's more like internal conflict. But like, that's cool. Like, as long as we don't dwell on that like too much. And I also thought like the ending was pretty it wasn't like action in the traditional sense of Sense8 where there's a lot of violence, but like there was a kind of triumphant cap to the episode. That's so I think stuff happened. It was more
Things
internal.
Definitely happened, but nothing really happened. That makes sense.
It's like
plot-wise, not really much was accomplished, and it's hard. Like, I feel like once we finish the season, I don't think I'll be able to even point to this episode as anything.
I mean, I thought this was like the feel-good episode for the most part. All the time, but like for the most part, this is like the feel-good episode. The calm before the storm.
Oh no, the storm's coming.
Are you thinking about that meme? Because I'm thinking about that meme.
No, I'm not thinking about that meme.
Do you even
Unlike
know what I'm talking
you,
about?
Maggie, not everyone thinks about memes all the time.
I don't think about. Okay, for y'all who don't know, this is some kind of meme that's on Tumblr. It's like this weird amateur acting videotape from I think probably the 90s or early 2000s, where there's a bunch of random amateur actors just, like, reciting very strange lines
to the
camera.
I think everyone on the internet has seen this video.
You think so? I don't know. I thought it was pretty obscure when I first stumbled upon it. Anyway, if I remember the name or, you know, find the video, I'll link to it in the notes. Anyway, we are way off track.
We are so off topic.
Let's get back on track. So, Fear Never Fixed Anything. I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed
Wonderful.
It. But I enjoyed it for slightly different reasons.
I don't think I went into why I enjoyed it as much. I mean, like, it's not, I mean, I didn't say I enjoyed it because it's internal. I think it's like a breather. It's nice to see them win because sometimes it just feels like all the hits and all the punches keep coming to the cast, so it's nice to get some wins in there. I enjoyed the return of Four Non-Blondes. Okay, I enjoyed the return of the song. I am
What's
not
What's going on?
Yeah. What's going on, Melissa? I enjoyed that song. At least in this context, not in every context. yeah.
Your first
there.
Dance.
Caveat right there. Okay, that's a lot. But I don't know, it was just very triumphant, and but not, it wasn't, you know me, I'm not super crazy about like really modeling like cheesy stuff. I don't think it was cheesy. I think as we discuss different aspects of the episode, I'll kind of be able to better talk about what I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally just watched it just before we started potting. So, potting?
You're still in the process phase.
Yeah, yeah. I did write down a bunch of notes, though, so.
Okay, that's good.
That should help guide our conversation.
I watched it yesterday, and it's kind of just been simmering around in my brain. And I think what I really liked about it was that the theming was strong throughout.
Yes, yes, yes. I like that too, because the whole thing about, what was it? I literally just watched it. The whole thing, Kyle's father talking about, not just the fear thing, although that was a theme too, but I liked, wasn't Kyle's father talking about, you know, death and, you know, reforming institutions.
Mm-hmm.
There were multiple themes going on, which were repeated, yeah. Which was good, you know? Because I just hate it when they either commit to some weird theme and try to string it all together and it doesn't work, or, like, they're too all over the place, but I thought it was a good mix this time.
No, it was a really good, this should be the dream. That's all I'm saying. Because
the dream?
The dream, yeah. Okay. Like, this should be the episode that they should achieve towards, because...
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, they didn't shoehorn in anything.
Right.
But it was extremely...
satisfying.
Cohesive.
Yeah. Because, you know, we've talked about how sometimes they try to, like, make things fit the theme when it really isn't. It's just forcing it way too much. But this was good. This was good.
Yeah, no, this was good. I think what I especially appreciated was that each of the plots pretty much hit similar, like, emotional beats. So there wasn't really a lot of, jarring action between them, like, with somebody's going through a romance and somebody's going into an action. And that can be utilized well.
Right.
But
I really liked it. It was pretty connected.
It was consistent.
Yeah.
It really felt like this episode was put together, like, with a purpose.
Are you thinking about previous episodes that weren't like that? Anything you could pinpoint, or?
Hmm?
I said, are there previous episodes that you can pinpoint that were extremely, I guess, not cohesive, or?
I mean, I guess I'm thinking of the end of the first season, where each of the characters got their own moment of triumph in their mm-hmm. own plot lines, right?
Okay.
And they didn't happen adjacently. They happened episode by episode. Like, episode 6 was this person. Mm-hmm. You know, this was... Well, I mean, not necessarily triumph, but there's the situation with Kala and her father-in-law-to-be. There is the situation that Cafius has got himself into. There is all these different situations. And those, I think, are very parallel. But they couldn't. I mean, I understand. They could not have happened at the same time.
Yeah, that would be too much.
But it meant that the characters were all over the place. Like, they weren't ever feeling... I mean, like, they'd have, like, one or two... like,
right.
being similar positions, right. But they never, it never felt this cohesive.
Well, I think this season, more than season one, for obvious reasons, it just feels like everyone's more together, right? Like, we get a lot more group shots where everyone's in the same space, thinking about the same thing, discussing the same thing, right? Like, we literally get that in this episode, when they're like,
mm-hmm.
oh,
yeah.
What do you think about risking... this and talking to this well, we don't know he's anonymous, but you know, this anonymous guy to, I don't know, for this weird, what was it, E-death or whatever, I don't even know, man, it was weird. To be fair, there were some things I was like not super keen on in this episode. Overall, I enjoyed it, but I thought, and hopefully I'll get back to this later, but I had some weird issues with like them talking to the hacker in the movie theater. I thought that was dumb. And I also, I mean,
well,
I kind of get it, but I think it's mainly dumb. And then also, I thought...
Well, I mean, they were talking in a movie theater. How disrespectful. That's just wrong.
I just mean it from, like, a from a security standpoint, like, that's literally the stupidest place. But, and then also, and I hope to get into this a little bit more.
E-death.
But, don't even talk to me. But, and also.
Okay, bye.
I thought the thing with Leto, and, like, literally, he's like, oh, I'm feeling down. I don't believe in myself. And then, like, literally, everyone's like, you helped me do this. You made my year so great. I love your movies. I was like, are you for real right now? That was a little bit much. But, you know, I think those are the two things that spring to mind. Leto's had a really
hard few months, okay?
What?
Leto's had a really hard few months.
I know, but, like, too much. Just too much. It's too much.
Just enough.
No. I would like to go through this episode chronologically, but I don't know what you want to do.
I am willing to do whatever your heart desires.
Okay, we're doing this chronologically. Okay, cool. So, I believe we open with Caphias? Or was it Sun? No, Caphias. It's Caphias.
You're right? The genius who just watched it.
I don't know, man. I just am going based off my notes, but just because I wrote it down doesn't mean that there's some scenes that I don't write about. So, anyway, I totally called it with Caphias. I told you they were going to try to make him a politician. I know they were like, we're not trying to make you a politician. We're trying to make you a leader. But, like, same freaking difference, dude.
No, that... I was surprised how quickly that progressed. Like,
no, dude. I knew this was coming, man. It was so obvious they were trying to set him up. Right, but you thought it would be slower paced?
I thought it'd be more of a progression than just an all of a sudden, hey, be our politician.
Don't pretend you don't know how the show works. You know it just jumps to, like, from one step to the other. This is not real life. This is the sensei world, where there's, you know, a separate species or something. I totally called it with Caphias. Huh?
I wish I would spend less time on science.
Yeah, let's, like... I think that's something we pretend is more fantasy than science. I think that works for me. Again, my notes, they kind of skip over certain things, but when the three, I guess, I don't know if they're politicians, but when those three, you know, I guess politicians come to visit Caphias and try to convince him to be kind of more of a leader in the community, I kind of see the effect that the director was going for, but I wasn't really feeling it. Like, when they're all talking in some kind of weird montage style, but they're all taking turns, I was like, this is, like, kind of not feeling very natural dialogue-wise. Well, does that make sense?
Well, maybe this group was nervous about talking to Caphias, so they practiced it in front of the mirror, and they had lines.
Yeah, dude, I don't really... I'm not saying that Sensate is, you know, the paragon of realistic dialogue or anything. Nothing far is, because that's it. One of those things where it's like, realistic dialogue is unrealistic in film or movies, right? In real life, people mess up when they're speaking all the time, they talk over each other, blah, blah, blah. But it was, like, too rehearsed and too, like, person A says this, person B says this, person C says this. Montage-y. Yeah. Like, it was a little... It felt, like, way too fake to me. That being said, maybe that was the effect that they were going for, because they're politicians. I don't think so. It was just... It was a choice, and it was not a choice that I agreed with.
To me, they just felt kind of like robots.
Okay, so you felt it, too. It was a little bit... It was a little off, the dialogue style. But whatever. Also,
well, it's more like they didn't have human emotions, but when
again, I don't know if that was a choice, a deliberate choice, but it came across very strange. I highly doubt it. I also think Caphias' house looks different. I was like, I don't think his house looked like that in the previous season.
Okay, thank you.
Did you think that too? Because I was like, that's like a completely different house. No, the house did not look like that in season one. It did not. It did not.
They were trying to imply, I thought he had moved or something. And then he's like, well, you know, get home, you know, leave before my mother gets home. And I'm like, this is not your house?
Yeah.
It's similar looking, but it's not.
No, it's not. The first house was a lot dimmer, and it was decorated different. I think the brightness of the interior that made me go, what? Because in season one, his house wasn't super brightly lit or anything. And or it had like darker wood. But this house was like had like bright walls and like was very well lit. I was like, this is not the same house. What is happening here?
I mean, I can explain it away.
But it's not our job to explain it. And there's never a point where it's like, you know, oh, Caffeus moved or anything like that. Like, no, dude. They just did not have that same set or whatever. And they were like, oh, let's put him in a different house and hope no one notices. But we noticed.
Psych.
Any more notes on... Or
maybe we're both just going crazy.
We're not going crazy. I noticed some inconsistencies. I don't know if there's any more about Caffeus, actually. Oh, wait, hold up. There's a thing about him going to the office, actually.
And he deals with those mean girls.
It was so high school. I was like, I cannot with this, yo.
I was like, I can't even deal with those mean girls. They were so funny.
It was like, that's what I mean. Like, it was like too, it wasn't even like trying to be even remotely realistic. At least I don't think that was realistic. It was just very catty and like, it was odd to me.
It was funny to me. Especially all of their different slang about her being, you know, playing for the other team.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find my notes on that section. Go ahead.
No, but, like, they had tons of different slang for it, and honestly, I don't really care one way or the other, but that, I really liked that scene, and I hope we see them again, because they're just so... I mean, like, they're awful people, but, like, they make good TV.
I don't know. I didn't find them that amusing. I did write down, literally, who are you men? Because I'm like,
I doubt we'll ever see them again.
They're so extra. I guess... How do I feel about that particular scene? Or what did any other lasting ideas from it? I mean,
do you think that she is gay?
I don't know, and I don't really care, to be honest. I mean, same. What were they even talking about? Like, oh, she's gay, and then like he got a little bit upset because like she was busy and couldn't see him or whatever. Like, that is like so. I need a little bit more like. I don't know, substance. Like, that's too... Like, you literally are like, oh, I'm so disheartened because three people were like, oh, this woman's gay, and I was told she was too busy, so I'm gonna think that means something completely different and, like, be disheartened. And, like, okay, Caffeus. Like, you're leader type. Come on, man.
I didn't see him being, like, that devastated or anything.
He wasn't, just devastated, but he gave up pretty quick. He was like, oh, I'm not gonna leave a message for her, bye. I was like, really, dude? Like, come on, man.
Just you kicked some.
I'm sorry, I'm just being loud. Anyway, but yeah, I was like, dude, like, you gave up pretty easily. But, you know, whatever. I mean,
this is not the end.
Oh, it's not. He's not. He didn't completely give up. I was just like, it did not take much to make him feel a little bit disheartened. I'm sorry. I think this is just being rather loud, so I apologize for any kind of audio stuff. What? What is she doing? Hold on. Give me a second, because I think this is kind of distracting. Before I cut out, I think we were talking about... I don't even remember the reporter lady's name. The mean girls or the mean guys or whatever. And... I mean, talk about lack of professionalism. But anyway, so those dudes, I don't know. I wasn't really feeling it, although I guess he found it funnier than I did. Yeah, I don't really know if there's much else to say about that little subplot. I don't know if we get too much with Caffeus. I mean, we get this whole politician thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I think both of those things will be developing, but like I said, not much happens in this episode. Really like it, but, you know.
I think it depends on who we're talking about, but okay. Shall we move on to Sun, since she's the next person?
Yes.
Okay, so... My first thought was, Popper! Oh my god, so cute!
Let me tell you what my first note was. My kink is Sun's reunion with her dog.
Stop saying kink. I don't think that word means what you think it means. But
no, it definitely does.
But First of all,
are you kink shaming me?
Yes. First of all, I thought before the dog, I thought, wow, Sun's hair looks really good for someone who just left prison. Like, her hair is cut immaculately. But again, maybe this is some kind of weird Orange is the New Black universe where there's an amazing hairdresser in the prison. I highly doubt it. But anyway, her hair looks great. Yeah.
No, it was actually before she saw her adorable dog. She was walking with the backpack, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And she had the short hair. And you just reminded me, when I looked at her, like, she looked so young from the back.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't know if that was an intentional choice with the backpack and just the hair, but it made her just look almost like a schoolgirl.
Well, she's freer. And then we also get that little flashback, well, a repeat flashback, I guess, to her competing. So
they're going to use that so many times.
I hope this is the last time they use it, because I think we understand he was the, I don't know, the person she lost her virginity to, or I guess maybe it was the opposite way around, took virginity from. But, you know, like, that happened.
It could have been a mutual thing.
She looked pretty dominant to me, girl. But anyway, I don't know. That, sorry. But I was like, I think that, yeah, that could be a pretty intentional thing on the director's part. Like, like, oh, let's evoke, like, youth. And, you know, she's free now, right? And she's going back to... I don't know. I would say she's more at home and is more of a father figure with the her trainer, her coach, than, you know, her actual biological father. So it's freeing, you know?
Yeah. We got to see her, like, actually happy.
Yeah.
Which, when was the last time we saw that? I legitimately could not say.
I love seeing Sun happy. It's like...
And it was like...
It's so hard.
We saw her take a shower.
Again, for like the fifth time. We always see her in the shower. Well, no, but... We literally always see her in the shower.
Well, no, but, like, before we saw her when she was in her own apartment and she had that sick shower.
And it was so, like, cold and impersonal and just, like, ugh. But this was more, like, she's, like, relishing her freedom again, you know?
Yeah. And privacy and whatnot. It's so nice.
Yeah. And then, what else? I think I like the music that started up when Sun was eating her breakfast. I know it carried through the other characters' scenes, but I was like, yes, happiness, fulfillment.
Yes, I do enjoy when my characters are happy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want this to be a whole angst thing. That doesn't really, that is not my kink, as we like to say. but, yeah, I'm trying to think if I have any more notes about, oh, I think I wrote some notes about, Moon or whatever.
Sun and Moon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on with Moon when he first showed up. I noticed that he was wearing sneakers. I don't remember if he was wearing sneakers last time, but I was like, oh, this dude's wearing sneakers. I think he's prepared to, like, run after her. But then he kind of pulled a good cop thing, so, like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't know if this is, like, some kind of weird... I don't think it's a fake out or a play. He seems pretty sincere. I thought, wow, that's really risky that you're literally just petting your dog, like, not even, like, several inches away from this dude. Like, your dog could literally just, like, run out and, you know, I don't know, give you away at any point. But I
guess the dog wouldn't, like, if the dog ran out, it's just, oh, he has a dog.
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. I bought his good cop play.
I did, too. Overall, yeah.
I don't know how far he'll take it.
Right.
I mean, like, obviously we're supposed to believe, much like Will, he's a good cop. He is a good cop. But, you know, I don't think he can be pushed too fast.
Right. He needs to develop or whatever.
Yeah, he has to gradually come to the truth. Yeah. But he's did point out some inconsistencies already. I don't know if he was there to kind of scope out the scene and see whether Sun was there or not, but, you know.
But he knows it's suspect.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was going through my notes because sometimes it gets a little bit illegible, but I think I can read all of them. I don't have any other, I think, important notes about Sun. I mean, I do love her connection with her mentor coach figure. That's always great.
I really liked the scene.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Oh, I just really liked the scene where she's mock fighting with him, mm-hmm. and she just kicks the punching bag.
Yeah, you know what's almost, I don't know if I wholeheartedly, from a real me person perspective, support Sun's campaign of violence. However, it is refreshing to see a woman in fiction have her little revenge story, and none of her friends, mentors are being like, you shouldn't do it. They're like, do what you must. And it was, I mean, I know we had that whole scene with the older prison buddy, as I called her, in the earlier episodes of the season, where she's like, you know, be careful, you have a good heart, revenge might, you know, I don't know, blacken it or whatever she said. But, that's not even, a strict condemnation of violence or force, because she's like, you know what, I kind of want to see you rip his eyes out. It's kind of refreshing to not be like, oh, you're a woman, you should be forgiving and let it be. You know, it's kind of nice to see something different.
It's like, take him down.
Take him down. Burn him to the ground. Which I am looking forward to that confrontation. I mean, it's building up to it, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this episode she mentioned, killing him.
That seemed a little far.
Yeah.
Maybe, chop.
Just, publicly shame him and, send him to prison.
You could do the Kabaka method and just chop off his arm or something.
Ew.
Eh.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying it's gross.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, we got the whole throat slitting thing in this. They had to throw in violence somewhere, so we got the whole nasty throat slitting, blood everywhere scene in the movie or whatever. You don't remember this?
Oh,
when
yeah.
Leo's, I don't know, I don't even know, reveling in that guy's blood. Anyway, we'll get to there. We'll get to that part.
Yeah, bathing in the blood.
Ugh. But, yeah, a son, I had another note about her. What am I thinking about? So she gets there. So, I'm trying to remember. I had another note about son. Do you have anything more to say about her? I'm just trying to recall what I thought
no,
about.
No, not really. It's so nice to see her happy again. That's all. And she's eating, and she's fighting, and she's getting ready for revenge plot. And, you know, it would be really helpful for her if she could kind of team up with Moon. And
she
kind
has
of
to eventually.
Be slightly more within the realm of the law.
I think she
but
will. They're not going to introduce him like this and not have her team. I mean, eventually, right? But
right. I think it'll take a lot of time, though.
She's not going to be like, hey, I'm a fugitive, here I am. No.
Yeah, and I don't think he would accept her anyway.
Yeah, no, it's too early. He needs time to build this up. He needs to age like a fine wine. But not too long, because then the pacing's too slow. But
this is like a K-drama. There's so much revenge in K-dramas.
Is there? Is it just the pettiness?
No, I don't. It's just I watch a lot of action K-dramas, and they're almost always about avenging death and revenge and it's fun.
It's about honor, man. It's about honor. Dishonor upon you, dishonor upon the cow. No.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know there was another note I had about Sun. If I remember it, I'll bring it up later. Do you want to talk about Kala? Because I according to my notes, chronologically she's next.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so, you know, we have Kala being like, everything is perfect, father, when there's a very intimidating bodyguard standing by, which I love how they shoot it, because it's just regular conversation with some tension. Let's now cut to the random guy standing in the corner. I love it. It worked so well.
Yeah, that was really good.
And I especially liked it when they're talking in the restaurant, which the way they framed it reminded me of the, I think, very first episode of Sense8 in season 1, when he's talking to her father in the restaurant. So I think that was a call. I think that was a callback. It has to be. And she's asking him for advice and whatever. But instead, the security guard is there. It's only one guy, but they also they had mirrors set up, so he had two reflections, so it looked like there were three bodyguards, yeah. But it was one guy. And I was like, "Ooh, I like this. I like this visual thing they're doing." It was good.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a sucker for like simple visual stuff, like mirrors. Like it, I'm just like the symbolism. I love it. But that's just me.
What's the symbolism?
I don't know. Like, you know, kind of like she's surrounded by this weird, like, oh, we must protect Kala and her, you know, I keep calling him the fiancé, but he's not the fiancé anymore. And the husband's family, and it's just kind of almost like, it's one dude, but it's, his presence is kind of, like, overshadowing everything. And it's very, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. It's like, he can't escape, they can't be like, oh, let's talk privately, you know, one-on-one, like, this dude's always there now. At least because, like, all this security, you know, stuff. I'm like not speaking proper English, you know, because of the security scare in the last episode. It's like, oh, he has to be there, there's no other way around it, and this is the price that I pay for living in a perfect, quote-unquote perfect, you know, family and, you know, husband-wife unit or whatever. So I don't know, I like that. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. I really liked the content of Kala's pieces.
Yeah, I always love seeing her dad, honestly. He's great.
Yeah, and it felt a little bit like she was talking about, I don't know, kind of deep issues that we all deal with. About, you know, not necessarily have your feelings line up with objective.
Right, she's doubting herself. Right? She's like, I'm not happy, but, like, shouldn't I be happy? Like, is this possibly the best it can get, but I'm not satisfied because there's something wrong with the way I'm thinking?
Yeah.
That's how I interpret it anyway. And I think that's something we all kind of, yeah, that's something most people go through at least at some point in their lives where we're like, yeah, am I taking things for granted? No. Or, you know, we had a whole talk about the taking for granted versus taking for granted. It's granted, not granite, Meghan Trainor. Sorry, I don't know why I'm calling out random singers in this podcast. I don't know what's happening. Back to the show. I love her father. I like his take on... I mean, I think, obviously, it's... I mean, you know, sometimes it's very obvious when the characters are being used as mouthpieces for the Wachowskis. So, like, obviously, you know, her father is the mouthpiece in this episode when he's talking to... you know, Kala's father-in-law, and they're having that wonderful, wonderful fight at the dinner table where everyone's just like, oh, pass the food, let's like pretend this fight isn't happening. I love her really father, and scene. I like how the final straw was like insulting his cooking. Like, I was you did not just insult that man's cooking. Excuse you.
You did not just go there.
Yeah.
No, I really liked that part. And I really, Kala's father, he was a winner in this episode. Sometimes he's a little oblivious, but he was really good because he, you know, he was talking about having Kala follow her heart, even if, you know, logically she should be happy or whatever. But
the heart doesn't follow rules of logic. So,
of course, unfortunately, but yeah, I've had meals like that, and
you've had meals like that. What do you mean you've had meals like that? Oh, where people are like fighting and no one wants to acknowledge it.
Oh yeah,
I don't think my family's big enough for that to really. Well, no, I take it back. There's like one person in my immediate family who just like pretends nothing is happening when we're all fighting with each other. But that's a little bit having one person ignore. Three other people or two other people is a little bit different from having, like, two people fighting and, like, what, six other people are like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. I think the ratio is a bit different.
Thinking about, like, extended family politics talk.
Oh, jeez.
Fun times. Anyway. it was it was very genuine, and it's rare to see Kala and her husband on the same side of anything.
Right? But, like, there are definitely some tension between them, because there's the whole thing where Kala's like, and I feel like this was a little bit out of left field. I wish they kind of led up to it a bit more. But when Kala's like, hey, you have to check out these samples. There's, like, issues with it. And he's like, no. It's all about getting products out on time. Like, who cares about quality assurance? Whatever. And then she's like, what? No, I like that, because it's like, she's like, you know, I'm still a professional and, like, want to do my job right. And he's like, meh, you know, whatever. So I like that. I don't know. I want more reasons to dislike this guy. So, like, the fiance, husband, whatever his name is. So you were saying that you had, sorry, we got cut off. And you were saying something about how you've had these awkward family conversations over, like, with politics or whatever.
No, I just, like, it was nice to see Kala and, what's his face, Rajan, on the same side.
Oh, yeah, Rajan. I never remember his name. I only remember when they use it, and they never use his name anymore. Yeah, he's like that guy who you're married
to. But before you can get too comfortable with him, and you start thinking, oh, maybe they're going to be a team, we find out the deep, dark secret of his business, which is that he does not care.
And which is not... To be fair, it's not the darkest it could get, but it's still not great. It's not looking good for him.
No, but I think it's really good.
It's like insidious.
Well, yeah, but I think it sets up a really good conflict between Kala and Rajan, because it's like a new venue of conflict.
Yeah, no, it's not more fresh than like, oh, we're not compatible, like...
Well, and it's also not so deeply dependent on their relationship. It's more dependent on, yeah, who they are as people. And I think Kala, well, we know Kala won't stand for this.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I thought that about Kala for a lot of things in season one. That didn't really work. But anyway, hopefully she grows more of a spine this season. I think she will.
It might take her, like, the rest of the season to do it, though.
Yeah, that's very Kala for you.
I say that with love, though, because I am Kala.
you are very risk-averse and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you would go so far as to marry someone which you had very little to no compatibility with. At least that's my hope, as your friend. But, you know.
I mean, I don't know.
Let's not go there. But anyway.
That's too dark.
The darkest timeline. So, any more notes about Kala? I do not have any more about her.
No.
Although, really. I think maybe a small note would be, I think that, you know, since getting married to Rajan, her wardrobe's been a little bit upgraded.
Oh,
Which is kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, she looks more like high class now.
Right. So, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, she has the monies.
Yeah. Shall we head over to Wolfgang?
Sure.
He has a pretty small part. Yeah, we don't get any weird bathroom transference, whatever scenes. But, you know, we get that whole thing where he's like, where the F is everyone? And then, I don't know, this is just me in the show, but I was like, there's a lot of candles around. Are we back in the Badlands? But that's just me. And
I was thinking about the impracticality of all the candles, though. I was like, somebody had to go around and light them.
Listen, Leela, or whatever her name is, had a lot of time on her hand, and she really wanted to set the mood, okay? And the best way she could do that is with candles, because I think music would have been a little bit too on the nose. So she was like, let me go settle, let me like lit up like 100 candles, because I have nothing better to do with my life.
That's a fire hazard.
True. That would be a great title. Not subtle. It's a fire hazard. but yeah, no. I mean, I don't even. When's the last time we saw her? When she was in the car talking to Wolfgang about how like the Sensates need to survive and do whatever they have to do to survive. Like, when's the last time we saw her? I'm trying to remember. It's been a while.
It was either the previous episode or the episode before that. I think it just feels like a long time.
Because we haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah. But we saw her in all her glory.
Mm-hmm. And that then was... Wolfgang was not having any of it. He's like, nope, I'm not getting distracted. None of this ish. Like,
he's singing a very different tune than he did a few episodes
ago. That's what I'm saying. I was like, he flipped pretty quick. I don't know if it's because, like, I don't know if he was, like, on his guard more because he was all alone and that made him more leery, but, like, he seemed to have flipped really quick. Then again, I don't know if I remember the last episode very well, so I don't know if anything happened in the previous episode that made him kind of wary of her. Was it the fact that she's working for BPO and he's a little bit more, you know, skeeved out by
I
that?
I don't think that's it.
What is it? What do you think it is?
I don't know. Because... Mm. Part of me thinks that it's the scene with Kala in the bathroom.
That, like, oh, she's like, oh, I don't want, like, what if I'm not a good, what if I'm a bad yeah. person pretending to be a good, oh, yeah.
So maybe it's, like, the relationship angle.
Sure.
But it does seem a little funky.
Yeah, there's a little, I don't know. It felt like there needed to be some kind of lead up to him being super cold to her. Like, a more of a lead up, you know?
Yeah.
More I think he also was a little bit of lead up. Although I'm always down for more Lido. But yeah, I was like, I don't know about this. Because he was so into their weird, casual, let's like telepathically make out and whatever. It was a little bit strange. I don't know, man.
I don't know. Maybe he just feels like she's getting too dangerous.
Right. I mean, he knows she has ulterior motives, and she'll do anything it takes to survive or whatever. We are getting cut off yet again. I don't know what's going on with the internet today, but it's been weird. So, we are talking about Kala, and then we're talking about Wolfgang, and, you know, why is he so cold to Leela, or whatever her name is. I don't know if there's really much more to say about that topic.
There really isn't.
Yeah, that's, like, pretty much it.
This episode was honestly really straightforward.
Yeah, there wasn't too much crazy stuff going on. Oh, I completely glossed over the fact that when we open up with the episode, it's everyone crying because Jonas has literally just died. And we don't go back to that at all.
Oh. Okay. So you're right that you glossed over that. I actually completely forgot that it happened.
I forgot it until just this moment, honestly.
Because it felt really separate from the rest of the episode.
Right.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I didn't care.
I mean, don't you care a little bit about Jonas? Just a tad. Just a
I didn't thing. Care.
Okay, I guess not. I guess not.
Did you?
Not really, but then I think it's been mainly because it's been such a long time since I saw the last episode. But who knows? I mean, again, it's interesting how our experience would have changed if we had binged it.
Right.
It would have been, like, I don't know, more emotional, I suppose. Whatever. Jonas
I think
dead,
it would be
no
slightly more emotional, but Jonas still... He was never my favorite character.
We
he
knew
was
not
just
to get too emotionally
useful.
Attached to Jonas. We knew this from the get-go.
He was useful for obtaining information.
He was, the Mohinder.
He was the Mohinder.
He even looked a little bit like yes. Mohinder, too, so... Mohinder from Heroes, for those of you who don't know.
He is not as attractive as Mohinder from Heroes.
No, but I mean, I don't know if I can speak for the actor, but he does seem a bit, I don't know. I mean, I love Mohinder, but his actor is not the brightest bulb. Anyway,
how
that's completely
dare.
Extra. Have you seen his interviews? I think he, like, no. mixed up, like, a hip with another body part, and I was like, bruh, no, dude. Anyway, that's completely beside the
okay.
point.
Okay. I've never looked into him carefully.
Anyway, beside the point.
Way off topic.
Basically it for Wolfgang. Jonas, we don't care about, apparently. I'm gonna forget about Leela if we don't talk about Leela, so let's talk about Leela.
Yeah, but wait, one more thing about Jonas.
Okay.
Like, I get why everyone was sad, and they were crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was exacerbated because it all probably bounces around in the cluster.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're sad mm-hmm. and you're talking with someone else who's sad and then you watch a sad movie
it's,
and all of a sudden
it's called
you're
a negative
just...
feedback loop.
Yeah, that. I was explaining an emotion, Maggie, not science.
Eh. I mean, you can science, you can kind of science emotion. You can't always logic out emotion, but you can science emotion.
We can science emotion if we want to.
We can dance if we want to. Sorry.
We can leave our friends behind.
All right, that's our requisite 80s reference out of the way.
We have a requisite 80s reference.
Now we do. Nah, that's just for this episode. Any more notes about Jonas, or shall we go on to Leto? Because I'm literally
forgetting about Leto.
So, yeah, Leto is going through scripts with Daniela and Hernando, and it's all just, like, typecast, horrible stuff, for the most part.
I feel so bad for him.
I mean, he knew this was coming. This is why he was so scared of, you know, coming out, because he knew this was going to happen. Then he gets a letter from, you know, be the Grand Marshal or whatever of the Gay Pride Parade in, I don't know how to speak Portuguese, Sao Paulo in Brazil. And he's like, yep, this is, like, just going to make me more typecast, blah, blah, blah. And then we get this lovely thing where everyone's like, I love you in this movie. I know all your lines. And you kissed me in the bar. And then I proposed to my boyfriend. I had the best year of our lot. It's like, okay, guys, we get it. He feels bad about being gay, but he's made a good impact on the lives of others. Like, I get it. I'm over it. It was too much for me, personally. It was cute.
Maggie has no time for your pedestrian-ness.
I mean,
but
it just felt a little bit ham-fisted, but
it was over the top, definitely.
I understand why they did it. It was too much.
I think what really put over the top was the scene in the bar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could have been okay with the, like, Bug is weird as hell, so, like, I understand with Bug, like, all that stuff, but it's, like, the bar scene, it could have been way shorter. Like, literally, what is this dude, like, we just pan over to the super smiley fiance, like,
that we've never met.
Like, who are you, man?
Yeah.
Too much.
Why do we care?
Why are you Why are you, literally, why are you there? So extra.
You don't even go here.
Basically. But, anyway.
But.
Yeah, that's what took it over the top for me, because I was like, okay, this is, like, it's a little cheesy, but, like, I can deal. But then once you pan over to the smiling fiance, it was too much.
It felt like it was gonna transition into, like, a porno or something.
Right? Like,
not in front of my salad.
I can't believe you stuck that into this episode. You're horrible. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Only the classiest of references.
Really? You're really going to bring out the classy references, you know, when I'm... Anyway, let's move on. This has been an interesting
pod. Back
to
Leto.
I
like that they reference about how, like, all of the characters that he could audition for die.
Yeah, there's a trope for that. It's called Bury Your Gaze.
Yeah, no, it felt like it was a nice kind of nod to that.
Yeah.
Not in a good way, but you know.
The Bury Your Gaze trope? I don't think we have.
Yeah.
Have we?
I think so.
What episode did we talk about it in? Sensei?
I can't pull out the number. I don't know.
Was it Sensei or was it something else? Anyway, but yeah, no, I mean, yes, I think, you know, the discussion about how gay people are treated, especially in other countries that are not, I guess, the U.S. or whatever, is important. And I think, you know, with Leto's storyline, sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss. To me, it's a little bit over the top, but, you know, I understand we need to get him on board to go to the Pride Parade, or else it's just going to be sadness and despair and, you know, self-pity forever, which we don't want. We already saw, you know, Leto with, like, what, like, vomit on his shirt when he was going through his little breakup last season. Like, we don't need to see that again. So, we already were there. We were with him at his lowest, so we're moving on. We're moving on, guys.
No, it felt necessary. It felt good. I mean, was it over the top? Sure. But I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was necessary. I don't know if it was my fave, but it was necessary.
I mean, I was complaining. I don't remember whether it was the previous Sensei episode or one before that, but just the way that Leto was struggling, I just wasn't really a fan of the way that the show was portraying it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hammy. It just wasn't really well done. And I think this is an interesting direction for Leto's character to go into.
Yeah, this isn't as, I guess, it's not setting it up to be as hammy as, like, the previous episodes. Like, where he was dealing with his sexuality or whatever. This is more interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's having to come to terms with being a public figure who is also, you know,
gay, but also working in an environment that's fairly homophobic. So
it's right, like, yeah. But not just gay, like being out gay.
Yeah. Like the effect it's having on his life and his career and everything.
Yeah, I think. Okay. Let me explain it this way. I think this plotline works the best when we focus specifically on Leto and his personal relationships and his emotional journey instead of trying to kind of generalize it into a story about
gay people,
like the gay experience in Mexico, right. For example.
Because it's not all-encompassing. It couldn't be.
Right. I think when it's specifically about him and it doesn't try and generalize, I think it's much better.
Yeah. It just all felt so, you know, like, have you seen, what's that Christmas film called?
Unlikely.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Many, many years ago.
It all felt very, like, not as extreme. It wasn't like Leto wasn't gonna kill himself or something. But, like, A Wonderful Life, it's, like, the main character is, like, he's, like, oh, look at this bright, amazing person. And then some tragedy befalls him, and he's, like, I am horrible. I'm going to kill myself because everything is terrible now. And then an angel shows up and is, like, look, this is what would have happened if you were never born. And it's all terrible. And he's, like, actually, my life has meaning. So, I don't know. To me, when everyone was, like, actually, you did an amazing thing to in my life, like, it was like, okay, this is very, like, It's a Wonderful Life to me, and I'm over it. Again,
I can see it.
That's just my perspective. It was not as extreme as It's a Wonderful Life, because, like, that is over the frickin' top.
I've never been a huge It's a Wonderful Life fan, just to keep things in the clear.
But, anyway, but you know, I love Leto, and I love I love Hernando and to an extent Daniela. So I want to see more.
I love them all.
I want more of their hijinks. So this is good. This is trending away from the angsty. At least it seems.
Yeah, I love when they're angstiness. Like they're lighthearted and they're together.
Yeah,
and they're so cute.
I know. And Daniela ships it so hard.
Daniela is sometimes me.
And, you know, Leto kind of ties in with Bug, Amanita, and Nomi's, I don't know why I blanked on her name, Nomi's plotline a little bit, because, you know, they're in the theater watching this movie. Bug is, like, apparently freaking out because he loves Leto and is kind of sort of telepathically talking to him, but it's, like, a one-way communication, so it's a little weird. The blood and the violence was, like, so ridic in that scene that they're watching.
But that's what it is, you know?
Anyway, I'm skipping around. Great. Shall we start at the beginning of Nomi's little plotline instead of, like, the middle?
That's a very good place to start.
Oh my god, I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, wait.
What?
The thing about Leto.
Yeah.
Was it also tied into the fear theme. I mean, they all, to a degree.
Right, fear never fixed anything, right? Because it's like, I know we're getting there, but, you know, Will and Riley are scared of showing their location to Whispers, but then they overcome their fear. They're like, screw it, I'm done being, you know, chased around like a fugitive. I'm a cop, dang it. And I'm gonna live my life. And then so, like, they kind of eschew that. And yeah, so, I mean, Leto also is like, first he's, like, kind of fearful about, like, what happens if I do this thing and I go to the parade? But he's like, nah, screw it, I'm gonna live my life and do my thing. And yeah, I think that does carry forth in some of the other... I think it's strongest with those two. I'm trying to think who else it applies to.
I mean, I think to a degree it applies to a lot of people. I think it'll be interesting to see whether it applies and how it applies to Kala, because it seems like she's been presented a fork in the road, and we expect her to do the thing that is brave, but...
But she's disappointed, at least me, in the past, so I feel personally disappointed in you, Kala. I was rooting for you, Tiffany. We all were! sorry, that was really old.
This is just the meme reference episode.
I mean, I would say is every episode a meme reference, but come on. Anyway, but I was rooting for Kala, and I was disappointed in her. Anyway, I think she'll be better this time around, though, because I think she has been developing as a character, so.
Yeah. And maybe even it could apply to Cafeus.
With what his intuition behavior or something else?
Well, no, about, like, whether he wants to become
a leader,
the politician.
Right. I'm sure he will. Wachowski's freaking dream, man. Like, they're not gonna not make him be a leader. Like, come
no,
on.
No, I totally know. But...
are you thinking about what, like, Jupiter Ascending or something?
No, I was just thinking about whether the character of Cafeus
would actually
in season one would have ended up where Cafeus is now. And I would say probably no.
I mean, like, the different actor, he just looks so different. He brings a different vibe to the character.
Actually,
I think.
I mean, yeah. I was talking about that a little bit, but it wasn't even just the different actor. It was just, I feel like his... Well, I guess it is partially that different actor, because mm-hmm. his character has gone through a real shift.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like the same person.
No, he doesn't. And he's literally not, but...
Well, yeah, yes, yeah. I know that, Maggie.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I want more... interactions between all eight of them, but in slightly smaller groups that mm-hmm. don't often interact.
Who have we not seen?
Because
connect. I don't know if anyone have, like, a chart on this. Like,
yeah, I'm sure there is one somewhere, but I was just thinking about it when we were talking about the new actor, and I honestly can't remember, besides in the scenes where there was all eight of them, whether each of the characters has had a one-on-one interaction with the new Cafeus actor, and I'm pretty sure it's no.
I don't think so.
And that makes me sad.
Aww. I'm trying to... I don't...
Okay, honestly, not that sad.
I have a really bad recall, especially when it comes to, like, we do this show, like, every other week or every, you know, every couple months. Like, I'm not gonna remember, dude.
I mean,
we move on to
Just binge watching The Defenders on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like I was mentioning before the show. And I honestly couldn't even tell you what was happening then.
In the Avengers.
And I watched
the
that.
Defenders.
What?
Did you say The Defenders or The Avengers?
Defender.
Oh, okay.
No, but I was just saying, like, I watched a whole bunch of episodes a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do I remember? That much of what happened? No, I really don't.
Shall we move on to Nomi? Because I've anxiously been waiting to get to that section.
I will not hold you in suspense any longer.
Okay. First of all, Bug's tiger shirt is amazing.
I didn't even notice.
Want that girl, that tiger shirt is something else, dude. How did you not notice it?
Okay,
it's
I probably
totally
noticed it in scene.
Do you want me to send you a picture?
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on. I don't know if I can find it. I'm going to just type in Bug Sensei Tiger Shirt.
The thing is that I probably noticed it in scene, but it just completely slips my mind. I just don't even pick up on things like that.
When characters wear crazy-ish, I'm all for it, dude. I don't think I'm getting
unless it's beautiful and I want to steal it for my own wardrobe, I don't usually notice.
I kind of... The horrible fashions parts side of me really wants that horrible tiger shirt.
Oh my god.
It's so bad, it's good. Let's see. Bug Sensate Tiger? Maybe? I don't know if I'm going to find a picture of it.
If you ever find it, we can link to it in the show notes.
I see there's a picture of him with, like, a... It shows part of the shirt, but not the whole thing. Let me send that one to you. I'm sure I can find it somewhere. Maybe I type in the episode title. Hold up. Oh, I don't know. Going through all these little screenshots on Google Images, it's occurred to me, I don't think I've seen Sun wear professional clothing in, like, forever. Which is so funny, considering that's how we were introduced to her.
I mean, it all makes sense. That's true.
But it all makes sense. Like, why is she going to wear professional clothing, right? But, I don't know. Clothing is a big part of identity, right? So, like, I don't think she was ever that corporate to begin with anyway. What's this called? Fear Never Fixed Anything? Let me try that.
I see it. I mean, I noticed it, but, like...
It's just so crazy in him. Like, that's why I love it.
Yeah.
I guess I have a stronger clothing compared to you, but whatever. That's just me being weird.
It's not really my aesthetic.
And the whole Ida thing, just... It's so, like...
It feels very, like, Mr. Robot.
It just feels so fake. I don't even know if it's true. It just sounds so fake, you know?
Yeah.
I just can't take it seriously.
I don't think it's real, but if it's real, it sounds so fake, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, what kind of stupid name is E-Death? Oh my god, guys. What are we, stuck in the 2000s? Like, the early 2000s? 1999? Yeah. Y2K? Like, what is this? What is this nonsense?
Like, the lights flicker, and because they plugged in, like, the USB or whatever.
Although, I will give this episode props. I can't remember, and there was a moment with Leto where this happened too, but it was a little bit more meta and self-aware than usual, I think. Like, when Amanita calls Bug out with the whole pregnant pauses thing, I was like, I am living right now. And there was a similar thing with Leto where he said something to the bartender where he was calling him out, like, the meta-ness of something. And I laughed a little bit, but I don't remember what that interaction was. But I distinctly remember the whole Amanita being like, stop with the pregnant pauses. And he still does it, and it's just good.
Yeah, no, I wrote down that line because, like, I wrote down very little from this episode, but I wrote down that line because I loved it.
It's so good.
Can we stop with the whole pregnant pausey thing? It was just... I love when a show is aware.
Yeah, it's great. As long as you don't do it too much, it's good.
Well, if they do it too much, it just becomes a different kind of show.
It becomes Community, is what it becomes.
Oh, I love Community.
I know. I was thinking about it, because I sent you all those links. Anyway, off topic. Let's get back. I'm trying to not get derailed, because it's getting late, dude. But,
we're having a lot of trouble staying on topic today.
Don't we always? I love, like, Nomi's line about, like, you know, like, what languages, how many languages do you know? The guy asked her, and she's like, 7, plus, like, really, she says a different word, but crappy French from high school, and I was like, that's me, though. That's me!
You also speak 7 languages?
No, I just speak really crappy French from high school. I literally had this conversation with someone earlier today, where he was talking about a cow, and he was like, la vache, and I was like, oh my god, that means cow in French. I don't know how I remember that. Like, I don't think I retained much of anything from French class. Anyway, again, well, I talked about how stupid it was that I thought they were talking in a movie theater. Like, really, guys? Really?
I mean, I would have, like...
I don't know, a crowded area where you can't be overheard and no one paying attention and you can't be recorded. You're gonna talk in a quiet movie theater where literally everyone can hear what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense.
It didn't make any sense. They just did it because they wanted to see Leto. Pretty much.
Well... If they were all speaking a lot quieter,
right?
Then, yeah, no, it still doesn't make sense. Talking in the movies, I am going to lose my crap.
Right, you're going to be like, shut up. You're going to throw popcorn at them or whatever.
Well, actually, no. If it was me, I would just sit there, being really angry. I wouldn't say anything, but I'd be really angry.
You would be that person. You'd be that girl.
I am Kala.
Yeah, basically. I don't have much else on...
I mean, what'd you think about them bringing the whole anonymous thing into it?
It's... I was taken aback a little bit when it first popped up, but then I was like, but this is a Wachowski, so am I really surprised?
It's definitely on theme.
It's very on brand. I guess confusion was like, how, like, this dude, the only person vetting this guy is, like, Bug. And I don't know about that. Like, it all seemed, I'm like, I don't know who this dude is behind the mask. I don't know if he means some harm. And then he's, like, telling Nomi that, like, they might call upon them to do a thing or something. And I was like, this is gonna come back to bite someone in the butt.
You never make these kinds of bargains.
You don't make deals where it's like, oh, one day I'll call on you to do a thing, but I'm not gonna specify what that thing is. You're just gonna agree to this. And it's like, okay, like, no, that's not good. And then, you know how it is with Wachowski, it's like, whenever they get super weird with the technology stuff, I'm just like, please make it stop. Like, the whole, like, little skull sticker on the key or whatever the heck, USB or whatever the heck that was. And then, like, he has that stupid thing where the anonymous guy is, like, doing some kind of weird alliteration with V's. And then he says, there's an app for that. Like, never say that. Who says there's an app? Who legitimately says there's an app? Like, you lost all credibility. You lost all credibility in my eyes once you said, there's an app for that. Like, there's an app for alliteration? Really? Really?
Oh, I thought he said that he has a knack for it.
He has a what?
He has a knack for it?
No, he definitely said there's an app for it. He definitely said an app. I heard it with my own two ears with my HD headphone. Like, he said app, and I was like, you have no credibility anymore. What? Who are you?
I do appreciate that the anonymous character is, like, lovable, awkward loser.
Is he?
But
is he?
Well, the way that he or she talks, maybe.
I don't know. I just was like, this is...
BS. I mean, it felt way too, like, V for Vendetta.
That's what I mean. With the whole, once they started doing the whole V alliteration, I was like, are you really going down this road? Are you really going down this road? But they did.
Apparently the answer was yes. I found it a little troublesome that they brought in a group that's, you know, pseudo-real.
I mean, I don't think that bothered me too much, but because they weren't like exactly portraying Anonymous in a horrible light or anything. I don't think they're gonna get. I don't think there's any, you know, season 3 bonus Sensei episodes to be leaked or any. Like, I think they're gonna be okay. I don't know. I wasn't too perturbed by it, but.
Well, I just think that. Well, I'm not worried about the reputation.
What are you worried about?
It just kind of makes me feel a little uncomfortable because it's like the Wachowskis trying to speak for them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I don't know. I just chalked it up to the Wachowskis being their weird Wachowski selves, so, like, I didn't put too much stock in it. But I see your point. Like, it could be kind of... It's a little bit weird.
It's a little weird.
I mean, they are a bit of, like... They do have a bit of, like, the whole anarchist thing going on, right? So, like, I don't think they would be... And I think it's supposed to be, it's more implied that, like, Bug is involved in some shifty-ish, so he gets caught up with all sorts of characters. But I do see what you mean by when you say it's, like, a little bit problematic.
I don't think it's necessarily problematic now, but I think it possibly could be in the future.
As long as they don't go too, well, I see what you mean. Like, if they keep going down this route, like, oh, you have to do stuff for Anonymous in the future, like, that could kind of be troublesome.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have really strong feelings about Anonymous, but...
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't really... It's. I don't have... Yeah, same thing. I don't really have strong feelings for it. I guess, like, I do like it when they take down stupid, horrible organizations, but, like, other than that, So, I don't know if you... Do you have any more notes about Nomi or Bug or Amanita? I love Bug. Like, he grew on me. I think I was super skeeved out and, like, mistrustful of him early on. But, like, he is freaking hilarious. He is, like, comedy gold.
Yeah, he's definitely grown on me like a fungus. He adds much needed levity.
Yeah.
And I know you weren't as crazy about it, but I loved when he was like fangirling over Leto. Because like
I think that's a completely in character for him. I was more like my problem is more kind of like trying to use that to be like, Leto, you've impacted people's lives for the better. Like that's what I don't care for.
Okay.
I completely believe and enjoy Bug enjoying Leto. Like that's hilarious. I love it. It's great. I believe it
because, like,
wholeheartedly.
We know from knowledge that Leto is like a famous movie star,
right.
But we don't get a lot of like starstruck fan interactions.
Right.
Everyone in the cluster was kind of nonplussed.
Well, I mean, I also wonder, like, how much international appeal does he have? We don't know for
That's
certain.
True, but so. Bug isn't, you know, Bug is international.
Right.
And that, you know, apparently he can fill at least one movie theater.
It wasn't completely full, but, you know. Anyway.
Okay.
I don't have many more notes about, I don't think I have any more notes about them. I just have notes about Will and Riley, but do you have any final words you want to say about that trio or whatever?
No, I mean, it's good that, you know, I don't know if you notice, but when you ask me every single time, you say, do you have any more notes about this? I'll always say no, and then I'll continue into my last note.
Yeah.
I'll be like, no, and then let me now tell you.
That's why I asked Melissa, because I know you're going to say something.
I'm so meta. Anyway, I like that Nomi is going to potentially have more freedom. And that we're going to see her potentially get off the boat and doing things. Like,
right, she's kind of like Will and Riley. Like, they're finally like, we out. Bye.
Yeah, this is the part where they break free.
Sorry, I thought of one of those pop songs. What's that one that came out in, like, 2012, 13?
No, well, if you're referencing Ariana Grande, Break Free, that is what the reference I was going for.
Oh, okay.
But now that you've mentioned it, it's
really
not
did.
Cool anymore, Maggie. Oh, Ari's embarrassing me.
It's my job. Let's talk about Will and Riley. I keep having to, like, quash the urge to say Will and Grace. I don't know why. I've literally never seen that show in my life, but something about when I say Will and, I'm like, Will and Grace. Anyway, Will and Riley. I love the visual look when they're kind of sleeping in that bed and Whispers is kind of hovering over them. And
like a creeper.
You see, like, cages, like, literal cages in Will and Riley's room when he's talking
yeah.
about how, when Will is talking about how, like, he doesn't want to live like this anymore, he's, like, not fugitive, blah, blah, blah. I personally, when you start talking about, you know, like, I'm a cop, I want to, like, I mean, after a cop, I'm like, are we going to see Diego again? Because I would love to see Diego again. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see Diego again.
I'm a cop.
I'm a good cop.
I'm a good cop.
There was some random line in one of their scenes that made me write, follow the money and see where it goes. I don't know what prompted that, but I looked it up, especially since someone online said there wasn't enough
Hamilton. Yo, Maggie!
I'm embarrassing, remember? It's my thing. No, that's not why I'm bringing it up. I legitimately had a reaction where they were talking about, like, oh, we gotta, I think they were saying something like, oh, we gotta find out what's going on with, like, BPO. They were leading into, the like, a sentence like, oh, like, there's other sensates or other, whatever, it's other species, but I thought they were gonna say, like, let's follow the money because BPO has too many resources or something. Anyway, I think Conchita Wurst randomly showed up in this episode. Am I wrong?
What showed up?
The singer, Conchita Wurst, I think is her name.
She's
like a,
I don't know.
Like, she's, I don't know what gender she identifies as. I'm going to say she, but you know, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but hold on. I feel uncomfortable if I get this wrong. Let me look it up. But she was a contestant on Eurovision, and she's known for, like, drag. Conchita Wurst, I think is her name. I mean,
did I just miss this? I have no idea what you're talking
about. Well, I saw a bearded woman, so I was like, I think that's Conchita Wurst. So let me read
this. Are you sure it wasn't just me?
You're not a bearded woman. Conchita Wurst is the stage persona of Austrian singer, recording artist, and drag queen Tom Neuwirth. From, I don't know how to say it, Gemunden, Austria. I'm not sure what pronoun to use, won the Eurovision Song Contest a couple years back, and it was like a big hubbub because, oh, look, she's a drag queen or whatever. But she's known for having, like, she does drag with, like, a full-on beard. So that's, like, her trademark. I saw her. Let me send you a picture, Melissa. I'll put it in the show notes, too.
No, I've definitely seen, now that you explain it, I've definitely seen pictures online before, but I'm not sure remember.
It looks like he pronoun, oh, sorry, it says, okay, Neuwirth uses masculine pronouns when referring to himself, but feminine pronouns to describe Wurst. So, I guess, since he was in drag, I guess I will refer to Conchita as her, since that's his preference. But, anyway. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw, like, Conchita Wurst cameo for, like, 2 seconds before Riley did her set. And I was like, oh, I know pop culture, even though it's, like, random European pop culture. Oh, man. If only
Wolfgang... I'm so proud of you.
If only Wolfgang had been there, he would be like, yes, my Eurovision dreams. Or I guess his dreams got crushed, so maybe not. But anyway... Anyway, I did my little random observations. Like, Riley, she's dyeing her hair blue, right? Like, they're doing that thing where they're like, okay, we're gonna leave, we're gonna get after, we're gonna do performance, and then we're gonna escape on a boat away from Whispers, right? So they're doing their little, they're getting a little bit, you know, they're grooming themselves. They're, like, shaving, re-dyeing their hair, all that.
Yeah.
You know, like, the important haircut trope or whatever. It's,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
well,
we're back
no
in the
one
game.
Would be able to... No one would be able to recognize Riley without that blue streak in her hair.
So, you know, maybe that wasn't the best time to re-dye it, but... Yeah, so she re-dyes her hair. Oh, was that supposed to be a snarky comment?
Yes.
Sometimes I can't tell with you, man. but she re-dyes a little, you know, a little streak, a blue streak. And I was just thinking, she literally just did it with, like, a goop of blue in her fingers. I was like, that blue is going to be on her hand for days. Obviously, that was not the case when we saw her later at the DJ set. It was not all over her hands. But in real life, if you do that without gloves, that blue is going to be on your hand for days. If not at least a week.
You speak from experience, I presume.
I speak from experience. I have had blue hair dye in my hand. On my gloved hand, because I actually was not running from some kind of secret organization or anything.
Wait, really?
I did like the song callback to What's Up by Four Non Blondes. I'm a sucker for that kind of stupid stuff. There's a lot of cheesiness that I will not tolerate, but that I will. I will. I love it. I was reveling in it. It was great.
It was a good reference and a callback.
I have no idea what's going on with that woman with, like, the tree tattooed on the back of her head. That was completely out of nowhere. I'm like, who the heck is this? Who this?
I didn't understand most of what happened in that scene.
Well, I think you know, they were talking about how we have to find other sensates. So, like, pretty sure she's another sensate.
Well,
and
yeah.
There was that dude with the bucket hat in the audience who... You know, had his weird... I think it was supposed to be his, like, first sensate experience with Riley. And he was like, whoa! And then we never see him again. So, at first I thought, oh, is he in the same cluster as, like... I call her Treehead. But I don't... No, I'm the best with the names. But I don't think so. Because he seemed... It looked like it was his first time experiencing that, like, astral projection thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I was thinking, I kind of had hope. I was like, oh, are we going to be introduced to, like, a new ensemble of characters, like, from a completely different cluster? Because mm-hmm. that could make things really interesting.
I don't know if the show can support that many
characters. I don't think so. And then since, you know, it got canceled and it's going to be, what, it's going to be a movie, it's not going to go down that route. Or if they started down that road, it's not going to be explored or realized fully. My last note is that the outro music to this episode, because it was very triumphant, was very, like, it reminded me a little bit of Avatar Last Airbender with all, like, the percussion.
Mm.
Just a tad. Not in the way it sounded, just, like, the percussion and, like, the expressiveness of it. But I'm trying to think of notes I had about Will and Riley that I didn't write down.
Well, I mean, they're letting fear not define them, which is good. I don't know how they're trying to contact these other sensates.
Well, Riley is apparently now able to reach out to random people in the crowd or certain things.
Well, so, that didn't make any sense.
I mean, we know that Leela was able to find Wolfgang. So, it's not impossible for them to randomly find other sensates.
But, like, okay. I definitely get that she would, if she met up with one, she would probably be able to, like, feel it or something. But she was in a room with, like, 1,000 people, and she just...
They were connecting through the music, Melissa. It was a magical experience.
Oh, my God.
And they locked eyes across the room. I don't know. We don't know how it works. We're never going to find out.
Did she, like, go through and test everybody there? You all have to pee on this stick.
Oh, jeez. I just want to know more about Treehead because she is super weird. I don't know how... I mean, that is, like, the most... Like, if you want to stand out from a crowd, having a... Being a bald woman with a tree tattooed on the back of your head and you're wearing freaking saffron-colored robes, I don't think you can get more, you know... I don't even know why. Like, if... It's like a big, like, look at me in neon letters, and Whisper's, like, totally walks past her, or has no, you know, interest in her, so I don't know what's going on there. But,
I don't know.
We'll see. I'm sure it's gonna go somewhere.
Oh, and the one thing that we didn't actually touch on, not really, was Whispers.
To Will in London, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. We got more Angelica.
Work.
Angelica, you did this. You brought this upon yourself.
I know. And I don't know. I think we were supposed to become more sympathetic towards Whispers, but it did not help.
No, I don't really think so. I think he's too much of a jerk for me to really feel bad for him or anything.
I feel like we don't know enough of his heart.
Right, we need more backstory. And not just like, oh, this is a thing I did when I was a doctor or whatever. Like, we need more, like, personal stories about Whisper.
So, yeah, I still don't get a feeling of who he is as a person. Besides being evil.
Just his evil work self. You know what's funny? I've just been thinking about a bunch of different podcasts, media, whatever stuff I've been listening to. And I think this seems to be more of a modern thing, and it ties in a bit with capitalism, but it's the whole, we as a corporation, or, evil corporation TM, we are willing to sacrifice people and things in the name of progress over most anything else. Like, okay, it's fine if we have to, you know, what's that phrase? You gotta break some omelets to, you gotta break some eggs to make an omelet or whatever.
You have to break some omelets to make an egg.
You know I'm a fantastic cook. But you have to break some eggs to make an omelet. It's kind of like that. It's like that, like, yeah, I know you think we're evil, but you know what? We're making so much progress. We're gonna be curing world, diseases and making things safer and people are scared and blah, blah, blah. Like, this is a recurring theme I see over and over again in the more recent media I've been consuming.
Yeah.
In, like, a variety of podcasts where there's, like, evil corporation TM. It's like, we're doing this for progress, even though you don't agree and you have no ambition. You think it's evil, but we are just doing what needs to be done and blah, blah, blah. We're getting results. So I kind of got a little bit of that with Whisper's little speech about, like, yeah, you know, kill the girl, but, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do to, you know, advance whatever scientific stuff they're doing, right?
But I just don't feel like we have no idea whether Whisper's cares about anything.
Right.
And I don't, I mean, personally, I don't think he does.
Yeah.
It just felt like a really weird plea to get Will on his side, even though it came, like, 10 episodes
too
late.
Yeah, I don't know why he's trying to get Will on his side. Like, clearly, Will's never going to trust or believe you.
Yeah.
You know, like, why are you
Will is a cop.
What?
A good cop.
The best cop.
The best cop there has ever been.
Incorruptible. Sorry, I don't know why I said it the way I did. But, yeah, it's getting to be that time of night, Melissa. But yeah, I don't know. You know, Will is the archetypal good cop, and I guess Moon is his Korean counterpart or whatever.
Yeah. This show is just about good cops.
Only the best.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
cops?
Not good cops.
Are there any
good
bad cops,
cops
in this show? Probably. I don't know if I remember any bad cops in this show.
All I remember is Diego, I miss you.
I really do miss Diego. He was great. We need more.
He was great.
We need our comic side character reliefs back. Like, Hernando, we got back. We lost him for a bit, but he got back. I don't know what happened to Carla's friend. She's just gone. Yeah, Colin doesn't really have too much humor in her storyline.
No.
You get a dog, though, with Sun, so that's good. That makes up for
aww,
everything.
Aw, doggy.
That puppy is so cute.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
We could probably just spend an hour talking about that cute dog.
Let's not.
I don't understand why not.
It's just gonna be, that dog is cute, so fluffy, adorable, I want that dog. And then, you know, over and over again.
Sounds
Melissa.
Great.
You love dogs. Final notes, Melissa? Final notes?
Final notes.
About Will
I guess
Riley, about the episode as a whole.
I really liked this episode.
I did too.
As I was watching it, I really enjoyed it. That said, the further we get in, the more I realize I literally just don't care about BPO at all.
Yeah, they're surprisingly not interesting.
I don't understand. Like, they're doing a lot of evil stuff. There's conspiracies with it and whatever. There's people missing.
I think it's because it's kind of technically only... I mean, technically it's affecting the entire cluster, but it really seems like it's only affecting Will and Riley. And we see them so infrequently. We usually see them at the beginning or the end, not in the middle, because they're not... They're just there to, like, have someone chasing them, right? And, like, keep us on our toes. And I feel like they were more of a threat or, like, you know, a scare earlier on. And I know they cut, you know, Jonas's head open or whatever. But, I mean, until I see zombie Jonas try to kill someone, I'm not going to care about BP. Like, they're such a non-entity. Like, they're not, they're only after Will right now because he's the only one that is, like, really on their radar. I don't know what I'm saying. But the others are kind of like, they're connected to this whole BPO thing for sure. It just seems like everyone's caught up in their own ish right now. And that's more interesting.
I think, well, you know, Leto has had the connection with the reporter.
Right.
And I bet there's going to be more of a connection with the drugs.
Oh, for sure.
But just because it's going to run through more plot lines does not mean I'm going to care.
Right.
Like, and
I
don't
care about Whispers that much, right?
I don't find him very interesting.
He's kind of an interesting, fascinating character. Or he had the potential to be. But he's just not there. He didn't reach his greatest potential.
That is very true.
So,
could have been
the
better.
Greatest.
I guess he still could be, but...
Right, we don't know.
We've seen him...
A lot.
He's had a lot of screen time for how little I care about him.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, come on, man. Be more interesting.
He's so generic.
Yeah, he's just generic evil old white guy with glasses. Like, okay.
Yeah, like, join the party. Like, there's 10 of you.
More than 10. There's, like, hundreds.
Okay, there's 10 of you on the last 10 shows that I watched.
Yeah, basically. Even the K-dramas.
Oh, of course.
Anyway, did we ever get a name for, like, Sun's coach, mentor guy? No, right?
Not that I'm aware of, but... I am notoriously awful with names, so never trust me on anything.
I don't think we got a name for him. I wonder, I don't wonder that much, but I kind of wonder what's going on with the whole Caffeus romance subplot thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's that could be... I feel like it seems on more on the boring side, but I'm slightly interested. Because, you know, we were talking about how Cappius had no love interest in the first season. Mm-hmm. Not that he needed to or anything, but, you know, like, it's also... Sometimes it's kind of, it can be a little bit weird when you're like, let's take the POC and make them sexless characters, you know? Right. We talked about this in our previous episodes.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the love interest of Cappius. I don't know whether I'll like them together, but I like the character.
Yeah. You know how I feel about Cappius' storyline? It's a little out of left field for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the show. That's Sensei for you, right?
Yeah.
At least there's logical coherency for the most part, and there's no tumors the size of fists that have no medical impact on a person whatsoever until convenient. Like, I will at least give them that. If and someone yet, had a tumor, what? They'd be dead.
And then which of these shows is getting a third season?
The tumor!
Sometimes not that I, you know.
It's funny, too, because I think about, you know, I think these are the these two shows are the ones we covered the most. And it's interesting to see how they use, they both use violence, but in very different ways. So right. It's interesting.
It is interesting. I think the one of the big differences that puts Badlands over Sensei is that Badlands knows exactly what it wants to be.
It knows what buttons to push.
Yeah. And Sensei has no idea.
It's like, I want to be all the things, but I can only be a couple of the things.
So I'll do all the things poorly. No, I mean, I like Sensei, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But
it's not everyone's cup of tea, though.
It doesn't have such as a strong identity as Badlands.
For sure. It's because, you know, they're all the characters are such different people, and, like, their worlds are all very varied. Whereas with Badlands, it's like, all the characters are from the same world. That much is obvious. You know?
Yeah. Anyway. And it's all awful.
Anyway, we are still going to be doing Sensei next week. We'll be back with, you know, the sixth episode of season two. I don't know what the name is, but, you know, I need
presumably
more.
Something very meaningful that a character says.
It's probably, but not actually that meaningful. It's something about art. Let me see if I can pull up. Do I still have Netflix open? Because I could check if I could check the name. I think I deleted the tab. Okay. So yeah, we're going to be covering Sensei Season 2, Episode 6 next week. If you have any shows or movies you want to suggest to us, because I know we're going to run out of Sensei and Badlands eventually, let us know. You can hit us up on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, or our Gmail, as we noted earlier in the show and in the show notes. And we will see you next Sunday. Bye.
Bye-bye.